What does the data tell us about aging in Kansas City? And what are seniors saying about this data? John Carney is a vice president at the Center for Practical Bioethics and coordinator of an initiative called KC4 Aging in Community. And he joins us now on the Bioethics Channel. The numbers are pretty compelling, aren't they, John?
They really are, Laurel. We've got a projected increase in the Kansas City region of more than 100% over the course of the next 20 years or so. So it's a very significant growth. And in about that same time frame, we're only projecting about a 25% increase in the overall population. So it's a 4-to-1 kind of shift. And we're actually going to move from, you know, 1 in 10 of us on the street in the course of the next few years to 1 in 5 of us. So it's going to be a doubling of the impact.
This will affect us in ways we really can't imagine right now, right?
It really will. It'll affect us absolutely every part of our lives. It has to do with where we go to shop, how willing we are to get on the highway, just basically all kinds of things in terms of where we expect to receive our services, how we need to even deliver those services, because as we age, we're going to be less likely to be able to get in the car and go to the box store. We're going to want things more localized, and we need to do a lot of thinking about how we're going to be able to accomplish that.
And it all starts, I gather, in the home, housing. And our view of how we think about our homes will change.
That's right. Right now, with most of us in age, you know, I'm in my mid-50s.
I'm close, so there you go.
I think of housing as kind of a, well, if I want to live here, I can. If I want to live somewhere else. As we age, that suddenly shifts for us, especially as we get older and older. We really begin to see where we live as a function of our health status and how important the routines and the familiar are to our own quality of life and how we see ourselves as being able to contribute back to the world and be participating in the world in a meaningful way.
And getting us out of those homes will become more difficult, I guess.
It will. Part of the problem is some of us are trapped in those homes because we're not necessarily even being able to ambulate and get around in our own environments. And we need to do some modifications, and we need to do some improvements, and we need to think about things differently than we have in the past, and even adding on things like, you know, flats and apartments, you know, for people to be able to share homes and those kind of things. And many of our zoning laws and things like that don't allow for that. So we've got a lot to think about, but being able to get around inside that house and being able to recognize how we'll be able to get to and from the bathroom and to and from the bed and those kind of things are just as important as being able to get in and out of the car and being able to get up and down the stairs.
You shared a statistic in this presentation that 9 in 10 of seniors rely on the car for their transportation, and it's going to be hard to pull those car keys out of our hands, won't it?
It is. You know, it's interesting because the driving a car is one of the least taxing things we can do. The problem is that when seniors get in the car, they actually cause concern for other drivers because of the fact that they're not as amble and aggressive, I guess, if you will, as we were maybe in our younger years. But it also, once they get to where they're going and they get outside of that car, all kinds of barriers emerge for them, including curbs, if nothing else. And so we think about the fact that we like that car because it basically proclaims our independence, but we really begin to think about what does it mean for us if we never change what it means being able to get to and from, and then what it means after you get there, and how am I going to be able to negotiate into the store, manage those bags, get back into the car, and then manage the stairs at home. So driving is important, and we need to be able to introduce new kinds of ways to be able to say to seniors, all right, you may pass the test this year, but we need to be testing you on a regular basis and making sure that you're not a hazard to yourself or other drivers.
And that leads us a bit into healthcare, doesn't it? As we age, we just have more problems being able to get around. I have an 84-year-old father-in-law. His name is John. You've met him. Great guy. But I have to remind him as we walk around different parking lots, his heel toe, make sure you walk in that fashion. Look out for the curb. Watch your step. Those kinds of things that we don't think about.
There are. And there, a lot of those health issues, even for – especially for women over the age of 60, that because of the body weight changes that they go through and the fact that they're built different than men are, their increased risks for falls go up dramatically. And there are actually some studies now that are helping women understand that they need to lean back when they walk as opposed to leaning forward, because once they take that little – just that littlest of trip, they're going to end up on the ground as opposed to being able. So there's actually training programs, and there's all kinds of disease prevention and wellness prevention and health prevention programs that have been able to be developed that address some of these issues. And we're going to see kind of an explosion of that over the course of the next 15 to 20 years.
And then thinking about the additional pressure that will come on to families with an aging person in their homes.
Well, and that's really a huge phenomenon that most of America doesn't even recognize. Most caregivers in today's society don't even recognize when they're in the caregiving role already, and it really becomes a moment of crisis before they actually wake up to it. So, what we need to do is do a better job of explaining to people that when you spend more than 25% of your time outside of work, tending to someone, whether it's even getting groceries or making sure they get to church, you're already in a caregiving role. And that will continue to expand probably for you, if you're in that boat already, to 50 to possibly even 75%, and may actually even impact your ability to work over the course of the next 10 to 15 years.
Big challenges, intractable problems, because they're going to come. What we do,
But there's also a great opportunity here. I think many seniors, relatively speaking, many seniors are much healthier than they used to be in previous generations. They're much more independent, and they have many more assets. Now, we've had some hiccups in the last couple of years on that ability to be able to really be confident that you're going to, outlive your resources. But at the same time, we are the wealthiest generation as we age, and we really have resources, and we also have capacity to be able to come up with some of our own solutions. So one of the things that the Casey for Aging and Community Initiative is doing is trying to engage seniors themselves in helping them identify what are their priorities and what are the things that they're most excited about in helping design or innovate solutions for. So we're trying to incorporate that as part of our process to say, this is not just bad news and scary statistics. This is an opportunity for us to really embrace the future in a way that we've never lived that future before, because we've never had this, kind of an aging population. But there really are some great opportunities and some great chances for us to be able to make a difference.
Casey for Aging and Community, targeting three communities to start through this process.
We are. Hopefully over the course of the next couple of years, going to be beginning to serve folks in the Rosedale area in Kansas City, Kansas, in the Ivanhoe area in Kansas City, Missouri, and then also looking at Northland neighborhoods up in Clay County in the North Kansas City area, Kansas City North area, and begin to take a look at how those demographically are different. And what kind of innovations the seniors in those areas and what the seniors in those areas identify as the most important things to them, and see if they're relatively the same, relatively different, and then what kind of solutions do we need to come up with, do they need to come up with, and then how do we help them implement those?
A good question in the Q&A session today: do we have the public will to address what we know is coming, that we see is coming in terms of baby boomers and the population that will grow amongst that part of the population?
I think that's the real purpose of the meeting today, is for us to begin to say, okay, we spent 2 years studying the issue. We spent 2 years trying to figure out if we're on the right track, if we gathered the right data, do we have the right statistics, do we have the right case statement. And now we need to go out and begin to share that information, to build a case for public elected officials, for agencies, for public agencies, to be able to say this issue is coming. And Kansas City has some significant challenges, especially with the breadth of our reach. We are one of the least densely populated areas in the United States, one of the least densely populated communities of our size, in the United States. And seniors need and expect dense areas. They need localized services. They need high-density population areas. And so we've got a lot of work to come, just to kind of stop on the edges and start taking a look back in and say, we've got 15 years to get there. We need to begin now. So I think we're hopefully going to be sharing that information with planners, with civic leaders, with elected officials, and hopefully be able to make a difference and then maybe build that case for the public work.
John Carney is Vice President at the Center for Practical Bioethics. For more information on the Casey for Aging and Community Initiative, go to practicalbioethics.org. I'm your host, Laurel LeBoon. Thanks for listening to the Bioethics Channel.